Brilliant from Kennedy. Couldn't resist the shot, and it's got it off the defender!
The chairman, you lose your little player. And it's in, it's a goal from Gilmour. Jimmy Gilmour has scored for Falkirk.
Finnegan's cross, Stephen Thompson! Falkirk have the lead after a quarter of an hour.
McKenzie slips, it goes straight to McGuffey. McGuffey shoots from his own half, and that is incredible!
He's taking them all on here. Catch him if you can. You can't. That is amazing. That is phenomenal. A touch of individual inspiration from Kevin McAllister.
This is Falkirk Daft
with Haldane Construction Services.
Hello and welcome once again to Falkirk Daft. It's almost Halloween, but it was a different type of thriller yesterday at the Falkirk Stadium. See what I've done there. It's going to be a spooktacular podcast today. I am your host, John McInally, joined as usual by the Ginger God of Pod, the one man band in the main stand, the king of prawn sandwiches. So much so, and a thanks to Peter for this one, he is now nicknamed Rosspitality. It's Ross Wayne, everyone.
Thank you for that, mate. Yeah, I did see that on Twitter earlier on. See this one-man band in the main stand? Do you know, I won a prize yesterday for guessing the time of the first goal, and Alan Dick, who's the hospitality host, read out my name, and then as I'm walking towards him and Alec Totten, he called me the one-man band in the main stand. I was like, this is catching.
Surely, Ginger God of Pods, you're, I mean, it's grown and grown, Ross. The introduction is grown and grown. I actually talking about that in the main stand yesterday, I've got to put a shout out. It was a bunch of, we've got a mini ultra section in the main stand going. There's a bunch of about seven boys, are about seven or eight. There's a wee group of them that are now formed just behind the home dugout, and they were creating a little mini ultra section in the main stand yesterday.
That's class.
You know. Like all holding each other, jumping up and down, and singing
doing
the song.
The Poznan thing.
It was brilliant, brilliant. So shout out to those boys. I don't know if they're your children, but doff the cap. So because that was absolutely brilliant, absolutely brilliant. Ross, obviously you were louding up as per in hospitality yesterday with the Bairns Business Club. How was it?
It was really good. A different type of hospitality day for the pure reason that I was on the DCs, I was on the Diet Cokes.
What is the point?
I know. It was a last minute. I wasn't intending to be at that event, if I'm being honest, John, because I had a wedding reception to go to on Saturday night. And then about 10 days ago, Greg Brown, one of the guys who heads up the business club, we had one table left to shift. And as I say, it wasn't something I was going to be doing, but I wanted them to fill out the room. So myself and a few others were able to go yesterday. So they, to be fair, they were all on the beers. But
I saw some of the messages coming in this morning. Like early Saturday morning from some of the people who were on hospitality. And yeah, you could tell it was a good day.
Yes, the bar bill, I think, was excessive. Not through my fault, but yeah. So, no, as I say, it wasn't a pre-planned one, but a really, really brilliant day, John. The Bairns Business Club always have a good hospitality day. They do one game every year. The Brockville's always sold out for it. And as such, it almost doubles the hospitality because the people who would normally book hospitality for the Brockville Lounge use the other lounges in hospitality. So apparently it was a complete sellout yesterday of probably well over 200 people in the lounges. So all money for the club, as we know. So, but it was a really good day. They're a speaker, which they don't always have in hospitality. It was one of the circuit guys, Eric Davidson. I don't know if you know him.
Never seen him.
His name. He was really good. Old school. Like, some of the jokes were...
2023.
No, but none of them were too bad, but they were, right. they were set up by someone in the 80s.
Right.
In terms of the style. But he was really, really good. And then, obviously, I did have to depart hospitality a little bit earlier, to be honest, because obviously, as I mentioned, I had this wedding to go to over in Fife, which is It's a new experience. It's the first time I've been to a wedding over in Fife, to be honest. But
was I'm assuming it was the brother marrying the sister, you know.
Yeah, well, do you know, I was going to say that to you. It would have been a weird, like, I was obviously only there at night. Had I been there all day, I would have been sitting on my own on one side of the church. So, no, it was a really good night. And they made me feel at home as well. They popped Amarillo on, especially at one point. And there was a family member who was a Pars fan who was absolutely gutted after their Derby
loss. Of course.
And obviously with the wedding being in Kirkcaldy, he was getting it tight from a few. But he did join in, fair play to him, he did join in with the Amarillo sing song towards the end as well.
Well, fair play to him, fair play to him. Before we go any further, I've got to say thanks to our sponsor as per, Haldane Construction. They sponsor this very podcast. Absolute legends at Falkirk now, doing a lot of stuff, good stuff for the club. You'll see them on the side of the stands. And, you know, they've got the Russell Latapy sponsorship up there on the Legends stand as well. Sponsoring us throughout the season. And if you want an extension on your house, if you want a new build, you want a swimming pool or a care home, listen, Haldane Construction, they can do all that. Absolutely, they have the skills, professional approach to undertake vast range of projects. No matter what your project, get in touch with Peter and the team over there. Customers are at the heart of everything Haldane do. They will keep you informed throughout the project, and they've picked up loads and loads of awards. They were up for one just recently, just missed out on it, gutty for the guys. But honestly, they are all of our stuff in the Central Belt. And if you want to get in, you know, want to get any kind of work like that done, quality and loyalty is the heart of their business. Get them now at haldaneconstruction.co.uk. Get them Insta, Twitter, LinkedIn and Facebook, or email Peter and the team info@haldaneconstruction.co.uk. And we thank them every week for the sponsorship because they make this happen. Though we don't make any money through the sponsorship, it appears, because every time we get a check from Peter, it gets invested back into the club. For example, I am sitting here today, as if the viewers on YouTube will see, in the new Heritage top, which is an absolute belter. Ross, this kind of came out of absolutely nowhere. I don't know when it was announced we're getting a Heritage top, but it just was news to me, and it was suddenly, oh, we've got a new top coming out on Friday.
Yeah, no, John, it was news to me as well, to be honest. I had no idea that there was a new kit coming out. But it's an absolute belter.
Oh, it's a cracker. It's an absolute... I went and immediately bought one. And listen, I think it's... I might be wrong. Is this the first kit we've ever had released without a sponsor on it?
Could well be. I can't think of my head. I know there was a couple of kits years ago that were released when we didn't have a sponsor at the start of a season, but then we got one. If that makes sense. But
yeah.
I think it's probably the first kit that I can remember that's never going to have a sponsor. So, and I think that's a really nice touch.
Obviously, it's been released. It's an ode to... Now, I had no idea of Sir John de Graham, which is obviously why it's called Graham's Road and Graham Church. It was a total history lesson, this kit. We had knights popping up in the photo shoot for it. There was knights kicking about the stadium yesterday. This guy, Sir John de Graham, was William Wallace's boy. He was the right-hand man. I don't remember him appearing in Braveheart right enough. But the big lad, he's buried up at the church which is Falkirk. Now, this is Visits Falkirk posted this, obviously, off the back of the kit, saying Falkirk was the first church erected in Falkirk and is believed to have given rise to the town's name, which obviously makes sense. The grounds are the resting place of William Wallace's finest knight, Sir John de Graham, which the top has been released to commemorate the big man. So it's been an absolute history lesson this week, Ross. I've been well educated this, but I tell you what, he makes good football tops, this John de Graham.
He does indeed. And to add to the another stat, because obviously you mentioned Graham's Road, the Graham Hotel is named after him.
Who knew? Listen, there you go. It's been an absolute history lesson this week, but the top is an absolute biller. I really like the detail. You know, it's the gold, the little pattern. Do you know what I love most of all? The kind of quote on the back of it, which is
really nice.
It's an absolute cracker. And it's such a good top. As I said, we've now ended up sponsoring Big Sexy Tam. We've sponsored the third kit for Big Sexy Tam. So yes, all over that. And do you know what, Ross? I didn't realise, because unlike the other sponsorship where you get to go to the big dance and stuff at the big dinner at the end of the year. This one involves actually going to watch a training session with the players and then being presented with your top by the players. I'm going to go to bits. I'm going to go to bits when I meet Big Tam. I passed him
yesterday.
On the way out, I passed him yesterday because you know how the players were all, he was getting pictures taken.
All right.
Someone nudged me and said, go on, John, get your picture with him. Go and get your picture with him. I was just like, no. Yes, we will meet Big Tam and get her presented with her kit from Big Tam Ross.
Excellent.
I'm already shuddering at the thought. But I was speaking to, when I bought the kit myself, I was speaking to the, you know, I got from the pop-up shop, was at the in front of the main stand there at the weekend. Apparently sales have been brilliant. I believe there's been about 600 sold in the first day already.
Yeah, that's what I think. Jamie Swinney put that on Twitter last night. So absolutely brilliant sales. Again, it's all money into the club, isn't it? So,
yeah.
And it's just a shame we didn't get to see them wearing it, because obviously the ref had allegedly said yes, and I don't know if it's exactly the same ref or it was the SFA, but the refs turned around and said, well, actually, you're not going to be wearing it. So,
despite like a month previously, Annan playing Alloa in the orange kit and Annan playing in their yellow kit, I mean, absolute nightmare for anyone that's colorblind, right enough. But you can understand there would be a clash there. So, you know, I'm sure it'll be on the first available opportunity the clubs can get on the players, which will hopefully happen very, very soon. But yeah, now it's a cracking kit, and I'm sure loads of people went out and bought it, including myself. It's a quick story, however. Person that's going to be nameless, though, I'm sure a few people might be able to point this guy, actually went and haggled with the club for sponsorship of one of the Heritage jerseys. Ethan Ross is only on loan to us till January. The person who shall remain unnamed went to the commercial department and said, listen, he's only on loan to January. Could I have it at half price? Now, I believe the commercial department haggled a bit back and there was a deal done. I don't know how much it went for or what the deal has been done, but he was able to get a deal out of it because Ethan Ross is only on loan to January. I believe you'll see this person's name in the programme because he is obviously sponsoring the top. So just have a look in the programme and you'll find out this I'm not going to call it this Del Boy's name. Let's just call this boy Del Boy.
I think I know who you're talking about.
Yeah. But the culprit is named in will be named in future programs. So if you want to know that person, pick up a program and you'll see who that is. Great top though, and I can't wait to see the team win. Just news quickly before we're going to speak to Tony Begg, which is going to be a really interesting. He's obviously heading up all the youth side stuff at Falkirk. But just quick news. Obviously, our Fortress Brockville night has been moved because of the game against Dundee United in the Cup, Ross.
Yeah, it's a shame that it's going to have to change date, obviously. But, you know, it's going to be a fantastic night, John. It's hopefully not too many are now not able to make it. I'm sure there'll be a few that have now got other plans the following week. But I'm sure there'll still be a really, really big attendance on the night at the event. The Dundee United game is obviously a big game as well. It's important for the club to try and get through that. We're all desperate to get five cups on the board, aren't we? So in terms of that, and I'm sure there'll be a big crowd there on the night as well, with Dundee United probably bringing quite a big crowd to the stadium. But yeah, Fortress Brockville now, the 24th of November. Ticket sales have been really, really good. However, there are tickets remaining. So for those that have maybe now not purchased yet, have a look on the website, on the ticket site as well. £35 per person. Groups are available. Group tickets are available as well. And you just need to get in touch with the marketing guys at the club. We'll be continuing to sort of push this on our socials this week and the next couple of weeks, actually. But any questions at all, drop us a wee message. But it should be an amazing night. And obviously, the only downside with the change of date, John, is that Sammy is unfortunately working that evening and that weekend, so is unable to attend. And we've spoken to him, haven't we? We're going to get him on the podcast very, very soon to hear all his stories that we want to hear. But the club have moved quickly and they've got Big Croft.
Listen, one legend to another. I mean, I think two of the hardest players that played for Falkirk and Crawford Bapty and David Nicholls sitting at the same table. If we put Albert Craig into the mix, it's going to be like the Royal Rumble. It's going to be a cracking night. Big Crawford Bapty now, so you're going to get Tiger McLaughlin, Davy Nicholls, and the one and only, he's got a stand named after him, for God's sake, Creven McAllister, 24th of November at the Inshira, £35 a head. Going to be quite a casual affair. Good laugh. Me and Ross are going to be up on the stage asking the questions that you want to hear. You know, two-course meal, pay bar, cracking night. It should be. So get involved right now. And we'll put all the links below for you to get involved in the night. We'd love to see you there. £35 a head. It's going to be a cracking night. You can make, why not make it your Christmas night out with the boys if you've got a five-a-side team, a seven-a-side team, some Falkirk supporters that you go to the games with. Make it your Christmas night out. Why not? 24th of November now at the Inshira. It'll be an absolute cracker. And all the profits are going into the Falkirk Academy. That's the most important thing of it. All the profits from the night going into the Falkirk Academy and not into sponsoring Tam Lang's tops. Get involved now, all the details below. Love to see you there. And talking of the Falkirk Academy, let's find out a bit more about it. And let's welcome to the podcast the head of the academy, Mr. Tony Begg.
Hi guys, thanks very much for having me on. Really appreciate the opportunity to come and kind of shine the spotlight on everything we're doing at the academy.
Listen, thanks for coming on, Tony. We really appreciate your time. What's going on at the academy? Let's just start with that open question. What's going on at the academy?
So I joined the club in July last year. So what's that, 15 months, maybe 16 months that have been in post. So we're really looking at rebuilding and relaunching the academy. So from my point of view, we're 16 months into that journey, if you like. So it's still very, very early days. But I mean, there's loads going on. We're trying to make the best of what we've got. We're trying to ultimately, you know, get players into the first team. But it's kind of a three-stage plan, if you like, when I came in the door. So the first part was just about making the best of the resources that we've got available for the academy. The second part, the sort of more medium term, is how do we bridge the gap from an academy to a first team? And then the third stage is how do we get the academy back to where it was in the past? If I look at my time in youth development, then at one point, Falkirk's Academy was renowned as one of the best in their country for producing young talent. So ultimately, that's my job, is to get us back into that position where we're one of the best at it again.
Yeah. So where in that kind of stage of process, Tony, where are we at the moment?
So I'll explain how the academy system in Scotland works to give a bit of context to where we are in that system. So it's called Club Academy Scotland, CAS for short. It's operated and ran by the Scottish Football Association, and it has three tiers to it. And the categories and the names of the tiers are Scottish FA wording, if you like. So the top tier is what's called the elite tier. And there's 11 clubs in that elite tier, and it's your usual suspects. So it's your Rangers, your Celtic, your Hearts, your Hibs, Aberdeen, Dundee United, Motherwell, St Mirren. Who else is in there?
Hamilton, of course.
Are there. Queen's Park are in there now. Kilmarnock are in there. So there's 11 clubs in the elite tier, as they call it. The next tier is the performance tier. And that clubs in that is your Partick Thistles, your St Johnstones, your Ayr United, your Greenock Mortons, Inverness, Ross County, Livingston. So there's 9 or 10. I think it's 9. Dunfermline, they're in there as well. And there's 9 clubs in that. And then there's the advanced youth tier, which is the kind of entry system into the academy system. And that's where Falkirk are at the moment. So there's ourselves, there's Airdrie, there's Alloa, there's Queen of the South, there's Stirling and Albion, there's Montrose, and there's Elgin. The things that differentiate those different three tiers, if you like, is really criteria driven. So it's number of teams, number of coaches, coaches' qualifications, facilities that you've got available to you, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So in order to be in the top two tiers, you need to have an age group, a team at every age. So you're talking under 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 18, and that's the kind of differential that gets you into the top two tiers. And then there's more strict criteria to then get into the elite tier, where your Rangers and Celtic are. In order to get into the advanced youth, which is where we're at, you only need two teams. You only need an under-16s and an under-18s. So it's a natural starting point, if you like, when you want to relaunch an academy. As you can imagine, it's a lot of money to run teams from under-10 all the way through. And as a club in League One, quite rightly, you know, we just don't have the money to jump right in at, you know, having all these teams at all those different age groups. It needs to be slow, steady steps to get us back to there. And obviously that goes hand in hand with how the first team are doing. And, you know, the better the first team do, then the better obviously it is for the academy, and the more we can do there. So that's kind of where we're at, and that's how the academy system kind of operates.
It's really interesting. I mean, you see, obviously, Falkirk were on the precipice of being in that elite system before the academy was scrapped. And obviously, like you said, Tony, we had, you know, we were widely regarded. You know, you saw the money that we did for players. You know, look at Jay Fulton, you look at Conor McGrandles, players like that that came through the system. I mean, God, Murray Walsh was, didn't really, you know, we kind of developed him and sold him on. But there was players like that, and we were so close to getting that elite academy. It must be a daunting task to try and get back up to that level.
So like anything, you know, you break it down into small pieces and kind of tick them off one at a time. So when I came in, kind of put a three-stage plan in place, if you like, John. So the first stage was how can we make the very best of the resources that we do have available? How can we make sure that when a young player comes into the Falkirk Academy, everything that we are doing to support that player and help that player on their journey is as best as it possibly can be with the resources that we've got. So little examples of that we've managed to do to kind of give it as professional a feel as we possibly can to it is things like we're now filming all our home games and doing an analysis session so the players can watch their games back, they can watch their own clips back, and once a week they'll sit in the classroom with our coaches and go over their kind of performance at the weekend and, you know, things that they've done well, things they can get better on, what does, you know, their own individual journey look like and how does their development look like from that. We've ramped up the kind of strength and conditioning program that we've got for the players, so they're in the gym 2 to 3 nights a week now, so that physically we can make them as best that they possibly can be. We can help them with that. There's physio clinics, there's goalkeeping coaches sessions going on. They're on the pitch 3 nights a week now rather than two, so we can get as much kind of contact time as possible that we can with the players. So I've tried to kind of put in place a structure whereby, you know, if a young player was to leave a so-called elite academy or a performance academy and come to Falkirk, then the things that we are doing for them wouldn't look and feel any different than what it looks like at a performance or elite academy. And that's just about, you know, using your resources as smartly as you can and you know, being the best that we possibly can be at what we do.
Tony, can I just ask that? I think that's brilliant that we're setting ourselves up to obviously try and get there. And I think that's great what you said there about if there's any players that are dropping out of either an elite team or otherwise that they can then kind of slip into Falkirk's way of working. That must be a really good stepping stone for the under-18s that are there as well, though, just now, with the chance of getting into the first team squad, because the analysis and stuff that you've just mentioned, that's part and parcel of the first team. Anyway, so they're already mentally prepared for kind of going into that intense environment of the first team then.
Aye, exactly. So stage two of the plan, you kind of take me on nicely to that, Ross. So stage two, so that was kind of stage one. Let's be the best we can be with the resources that we've got, you know, understanding that we've only got, you know, a small resource available to us, because quite rightly, the most important thing is you know, getting the first team right and, you know, hopefully getting promoted. So the money that we have raised, you know, at golf days and speaker nights and all that, and the academy sponsor and street lighting solutions, you know, that kind of ring fence money has helped us to do that. Stage two of the plan then was how do we bridge the gap from the academy to the first team? So, you know, an academy finishes at under 18. That's a huge jump to, you know, to then go to the first team. So how do we bridge that gap is kind of stage two, sort of 12 month plan. So what we've done there is probably two things. So Obviously, I work really closely with John and Paul at the first team, so you'll find that the under-18s, you know, we try and make sure that we play in the same style and the same ethos and same formations and play the same way, you know, as the first team do, so that should a young player get the opportunity to go and train with the first team or indeed play with the first team, that what they're being asked to do isn't alien to them. And as you see, even things like sitting and being able to watch their own performance back and almost get critiqued in that way is something that they've been exposed to and they're used to, and it's not alien to them, you know, and they've kind of developed that skill, because it is a skill to be able to watch yourself back and, you know, and be critiqued positively and negatively. So we're trying to make sure that what happens in the academy, you know, happens in the first team in terms, as you say, analysis and style of play, so that we're not asking a fullback in the academy to do something to what a fullback would be asked to do in the first team, and so on and so forth, right through every position and style of play. The other part of that was in the summer, we managed to offer 2-year contracts to 4 modern apprentices, which I'm sure the supporters will be familiar with now. So those 4 players were Owen Hayward, the goalkeeper. We had Logan Sinclair, who's a left centre half, Reece Walker, who's a wide player, and Scott Honeyman, who's a wide player. So that starts to then look at bridging the gap from academy to first team in terms of taking players on that journey to hopefully becoming professional footballers. So they're on 2-year contracts as modern apprentices. 3 of them, Logan, Reece and Scott, have actually all made their first team debuts. Logan was the last game of last season in the league campaign away to Peterhead. Scott was next against Stirling Albion in the league back in August, I think it was. And then Reece, probably the following week or a fortnight later, away to Alloa. And you may remember he got an assist in that game as well. So it's great that the 3 of them have already made their first team debut. The beauty is these guys are training with the first team every day, and that helps us to bridge that gap. You know, if you're having to train at the standards and the pace and the tempo and the quality and keep up with the kind of first team guys, so training isn't breaking down, you know, you can only benefit and learn. And we think their learning and their development will be accelerated by the fact that every day of the week they're being exposed to training with the first team players. You know, it's kind of sink or swim a wee bit, and so far these guys are adapting really well. Owen Hayward played the preseason friendly against Bonnerig as well, so again he's had the taste of first team football in a preseason friendly as well, and acquitted himself really well. So that's kind of our plan and our process for how we bridge that gap from academy to first team. They're all actually out on loan now as well, which is kind of the next stage in their development. So Owen's at Penicuik in the East of Scotland Premier League. Reece is at Camlan, doing really well, getting some nice publicity there. Scott's in the Lowland League with the Shire.
Yeah.
And Logan's just gone to Tynecastle in the East of Scotland Premier League as well. So they're now bridging that gap and getting to play competitive adult football at a good level, playing for points every week and playing for prizes every week, which is great.
I mean, it surprised me actually, you know, when they... Certainly, you know, these boys have come into and they didn't look out of place when they played, you know, Tony, they really didn't. I was actually very surprised that, you know, when we dipped into the transfer market, and I know we've got a great player, Ethan Ross, but I thought Honeyman deserved, you know, he looked like he could play in that role. And I was actually very surprised that we did send him out alone and did keep him around the squad and maybe saved a bit of money there. Because as you say, it's like trying to get these guys, what we had from the system before is getting them into that first team. But I guess... you'll know better than us. Are they in a better place going out to Camlan or the Shire or places like that?
Yeah, I mean, let's be honest, it's a massive jump to go from our under-18s to our first team. It's a huge jump, and they need to play. You know, the best way to learn is to play, and they need to go out, and they need to play every week. You need to try and get 90 minutes under their belt every week, and then when they come back, they should be better equipped to properly then challenge for a first team place, you know. So we've got to look at each of them individually and think what's best for their development, and ultimately what's going to give them the best opportunity to go and have a career in the game. And at the moment for these guys, it's about going out and playing against men week in and week out, and you know, and getting the robustness of these kind of games that they're playing in now.
I mean, I guess it's a real catch 22 for the club. You know, when we're in the position, like you say, we're in League One, you know, and it's all about getting promotion. But at the same time, you want to, when you look across the way, obviously our competitors this season, which are Hamilton, who are shipping boys out the door pre-season. You've seen about three or four boys go out to for big, big money to, like, say, and stuff like that. It is a real catch 22 situation. It's like, do you speculate to accumulate? I mean, it must be a really difficult position to be in.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, and we'll not, until we can get a kind of full academy again and we're going under 10s, 11s, 12s, you know, all the way through. And then you're getting the best players early, and then we'll be back in that probably opportunity like your Hamilton, and where they've had these guys in the door for 10 years and nurtured them and developed them and you know, then been able to sell them on. We're really playing catch up. You know, we're starting our academy at under 16s. So it's very, very late in the day to be bringing players in. But the four modern apprentices are all doing great, and I'm sure if they carry on doing what they're doing, then their time will come at the right moment.
Yeah.
Tony, can I ask you, in terms of our name, so obviously, as John said at the start, the Falkirk Academy was synonymous with producing really good talent. You'll know, because you're in that sort of environment every day and every week. But is the Falkirk brand still a good brand for parents to give
it is. It definitely is, and there's still a good name out there. And that, you know, I've got a really good relationship with all the other kind of heads of academies, and they've all been really helpful. So, you know, there's one or two examples out there where there's players that are in the Falkirk area, if you like, that have been at other academies, and for whatever reason they're ready to leave that academy. You know, a lot of the time it can be traveling. And I'm the first person they pick up the phone to say, look, you know, we heard you're doing, you know, re-establishing the academy, et cetera, et cetera. We've got a young player here that comes to your area, traveling's maybe a wee bit difficult, you know, kind of, we would recommend you go and have a look at them type thing. So that there's still a good name out there, you know, and our job is to try and make sure that we do become the club of choice, you know, to pick players up from, you know, from other academies for whatever reason that they might be leaving there. And that's why we're trying to make sure that the foundations that I spoke about earlier and what we're offering young players is as good as it possibly can be, so that when they do walk in the door and look around and see the things that we're trying to help them with, that, you know, it does become an attractive place for them to come and play their football.
Yeah, I mean, actually on that, when you talk about the local area, Tony, obviously around the corner from us, we've got Graham High, which is the elite school in Central for getting. And I know my friend's boy goes there and he plays for Hamilton, you know, but, you know, you look around that class and it's all Hamilton, St Mirren, St Johnston, that's Dundee. That's all the teams that are going to. Is there been an attempt to kind of build a relationship with Graham High to try and...
Yeah, so we've now got three or four players in the academy that go to Graham High. So if you think about the Scottish FA's Performance School, the kids get selected to go to that when they're leaving primary seven and going into high school, and then it's a 4-year commitment that the Scottish FA make to the players to go through that programme, first year to fourth year. Where we're at in an academy at the moment, and why the long-term aim is to get back to a full academy, under 10s, 11s, you know, all the way through to 18s, is at this moment in time, we don't have an offer in our academy for young players at 10s, 11s, 12s. So the only place that the most talented players in this region can go is your Motherwells, your Hamilton's, your St Mirren's, your St Johnson's, because there is no Falkirk Academy at that age for them. So when those players are being picked up by academies and they're going to Hamilton and then they're trialling for Graham High and they're getting selected to go to Graham High, then they're no Falkirk players, because there is no Falkirk Academy at that age group. Mm. And that's why the longer term plan is to get back to having a full academy, so that at the younger age groups, when a young player has been identified, you know, as a talented player, good enough to play academy football, Falkirk is an option for them. And then they don't have to go to St Johnstone or Celtic or Rangers or Hibs or Hartford or wherever it is that they're going, because they can come to Falkirk because we've got an age group available for them. And that's ultimately the aim. But as I said right at the start, that costs a lot of money, and the club's not ready for that. The club's not in a position where we can fund that. You know, It wouldn't make sense right here and now to divert that money away from the manager's budget and the first team to try and get us into the championship. You know, to be running teams at that age group. You know, that's why I'm saying earlier, you know, the better the first team do, the better everybody at the club. You know, but the intention and the aim is that in 2026, which isn't really that long away, really, when you think about it, that's the date we've got in mind at the moment when we kind of fully relaunch the academy and go right back to those younger age groups. And then that's hopefully when you then see the kids that are in Graham High, they're all Falkirk players, because we're back to having that offering again for them. But I've got a really good relationship with Ian Ross, who's the head coach at Graham High. And as I say, we've now got, I think it could be four or five players off the top of my head that are either currently at Graham High or who've recently, you know, graduated from and left Graham High. Reese Walker's an example. So Reese went to Graham High. So Reese was at Dundee United, went to Graham High. For whatever reason, you know, didn't work out with Dundee United. We've been able to get him into Falkirk. But, you know, he's an example. If we'd had an academy when Reese was in primary seven and going into first year, then there's every chance Reese would have been here all that length of time, if you like.
I mean, that's a sad thing, isn't it? That is the sad thing, that we had that, you know, we had...
Yeah.
It is gone. But I'm guessing, Tony, you're every season, depending on what the first team, you're going to be the first person chaperoning Jamie Swinney's door saying.
Listen, what really excited me about coming to Falkirk is there's not many opportunities to build an academy almost from scratch. You know, it's very, very rarely there's an opportunity to come like that. But I also came into the job with my eyes wide open. You know, I'm not banging on his door asking for X, Y, and Z money, because I understand completely where we're at the moment and what the priorities are, and, you know, in terms of where we want to get the club to. But I also completely buy in and understand the long-term vision, and, you know, the board are fully, fully behind, you know, having the academy back at the, you know, kind of upper echelons of academy football in Scotland. And it makes perfect sense. You know, if you can get the academy model right, when you're creating your own players and getting them into the first team, and it's a conveyor belt and you're selling them on for good money, and the replacement's already in, you know, in the building. And, you know, we all know that, and we all get that. Everybody buys into that. But, you know, it's going to take time. And what we're doing our best to do at the moment is make the very best of what we do have available to us, so that we might be able to get some gems through to John and Paul, you know, at some point. And that's really what we're trying to do at the moment.
Tony, that feels like a really good spot for us to kind of take towards the end of the chat with you. But see, in terms of what we need to continue to do as fans of the club. So we know we're fan-owned, we know we're fan-run now. This is our club. There's no one writing checks in the background. We need to do this ourselves, right?
Yeah.
And what can the fans do continuously from now on in until 2026? What can the fans be doing that's going to help get us to where we all want to be?
I always knew it was a big club, but it's not until you're actually inside the club and you see the size of the fan base. I mean, we're getting 4,500, no far off it, in League One. I mean, it's incredible. Even at that SPFL Trust Trophy game against Queen's Park a couple of weeks ago, I think we've got the biggest attendance in the country. So the fan base is incredible, and the fan ownership's a terrific model, you know, and the atmosphere that's been generated at home games now is magnificent. Everybody's pulling in the same direction, and there's a really good kind of feel factor of, you know, about the place just now, which is all credit to the management team that, you know, working together with the supporters and the board. I would just ask the fans just to keep supporting us, keep coming to the golf days or the speaker days, you know, and all that kind of stuff that's just helping us. I mean, it was the last speaker day at the Enshirer that we had at the tail end of last year that allowed us to bring the four modern apprentices in. It was the money generated that night that allowed us to do that. So the more they can just keep supporting events like that, you know, the more it helps us to continue just to grow and develop and ultimately get to where we want to get to.
So the two big things that's on the go then just now, so obviously we've been talking about the Fortress Brockville event a lot, because we're for helping host it on the night. So if fans can get involved with that, that's going to be a big thing for money towards in the
yeah, league. Yeah. And then there's they've just relaunched the 1876.
Yeah.
Raffle again, and the club have said that all the money generated from that will go to the academy, you know. So if people can help with that, then that's brilliant as well.
Absolutely. Right. I mean, two easy ways to get involved and help Tony and his quest to become elite, and so he doesn't have to chap Jamie's door every 5 minutes. But listen, it's been a pleasure to speak to you, Tony. Like you say, the supporters want it to happen. I think, you know, I was one of the supporters when the academy got scrapped at that point by him who shall remain nameless. But it was a big disappointment when you saw the players that have come through. You know, you look. I saw a picture with Scott Arfield playing alongside Lionel Messi.
Yeah, I know. Even if you look at even the Queen's. So I've spoken about the four modern apprentices, but even beyond that, the Queen's Park game. You know, the under 18s have done really well in the Scottish Cup on the Friday night, the night before. Kenna is a benchmark for us. You know, Livingston are probably 3 or 4 years ahead of us in their journey. They've got a full academy now, but they only really launched theirs 3 or 4 years ago. So if you're looking about trying to think, well, you know, what's a gauge of kind of where we're at, then, you know, they're a reasonable benchmark for us. And, you know, for our under-18s to beat them in the Scottish Cup was great for us, a good indicator. But we Harrison Howie did great. He scored the winner on the Friday night. You know, the bench was a wee bit light on the Saturday, you know, so John and Paul brought one or two of them onto the bench, which was great. The wee fella got on and he almost scored the touch, if that had been
unbelievable.
But you could feel the buzz, though. That's the point I'm making. You can feel the buzz in the crowd when a young player comes on, makes their debut, does well. You know, again, Rhys got good feedback when he had the assist away to Alloa. So, you know, I think supporters, they like nothing better than to see homegrown talent doing well and flourishing. You know, I think they're a wee bit more patient with them. They probably give them a wee bit more, you know, understanding and time as well. But, you know, I think that with wee Harrison coming on at home, you know, created a real buzz as well. So
we all wanted him to score that one. We all wanted him to score that one. He was absolutely brilliant. But listen, Tony, thank you so much for the time. Like Ross said, get involved in the draw of the raffle, the 1876 Club raffle. Come down to the Enshirer. You know, you'll have a good time. You might win a prize at any of these things, and you're putting money into Tony's pocket so he can invest and bring in the future stars of tomorrow. So thanks for your time, Tony, and really appreciate you coming on Falkirk Daft.
Thanks very much, guys. Thanks for having me. Doing a great job. All the best.
Cheers, Tony.
Cheers.
Well, brilliant to speak to Tony. Listen, I think as Falkirk supporters, Ross, we all want the academy to be successful. We all want to see the next Craig Sibbald. We all want to see the next Tam Scobie, Murray Wallace, Scott Arfield. You list off the players that went on to be great professionals that came through the Falkirk Academy. You know, Jay Fulton, Jesus. It was Conor McGrandles. It was just, you know, an absolute conveyor belt of great talent, and we want to see that happen again. So get involved in the Shire. Like I say, get involved in the raffle. Listen, Ross, it's happening just now. The Scottish Cup draw for the third round. Will we go to it live?
Let's go to it live, John.
This is going to be a great podcast now as we switch over, because you'll already, when you see the Scottish Cup draw, you already know when you hear this podcast who we've got, but we're going to go to the Scottish Cup draw live because basically me and Ross want to see who we've got. So here we go. Scott Brown's doing it in 30. And it's Gordon Duncan from Super Scoreboard, my mate, that's doing the draw. I did not realise this. There we go. I wish I'd known 26. This.
And the winner will play 26, Gene Field Swifts. An incredible result between two Elgin.
So, John, we've obviously got the championship teams in. We've got League One. And we've got
I think we might have. Have we missed this, Ross? Have we missed Scotland?
They're still going
29.
Through.
So, number 29 is Montrose.
I've not seen Falkirk tweet that we've been drawn yet. So I don't think we've been drawn.
What number are we, Ross? Do you know what number Falkirk are?
I don't yet know. We must be one of the lower ones.
Montrose versus Edinburgh City.
John, we must be 20, early 20s then, if Edinburgh City's 19. So we must be early 18.
Number 18 is Dunfermline Athletic.
Dunfermline!
John, we're 20. I've just checked. We're 20.
Right, we're 20. We're looking for 20. What? See, who's it? Please go be 20. Be 20. We missed out and Dunfermline away.
Damn it.
I really should text Gordon.
Oh,
right,
Wraith. We got his Wraith. Look.
Oh, by the way, Dunfermline, Wraith. After them getting beat yesterday at it.
Number 20.
I've got home
draw. There we go. Home tie. There we go for the Bairns.
Let's see who we're playing.
Come on, Gordon, do us a favour here, son, eh? You'll be getting tight in work tomorrow if we don't get a good plum tie here.
Number 22.
They will play 22 for Martin United.
That's decent. Happy with that, John. Happy with that.
Falkirk versus for Martin United. There you go. That is the draw for the Scottish Cup. Look at that. Live podcasting happening. Will we stay with it? We're not bored about the rest of it, are we? There you go. Still in Albion. We're next out. Fantastic. There you go. Decent draw. Falkirk versus for Martin United. That is going to be happening.
I think that's a good home draw for us.
That will be the day after the Inshira night as well. So get on to the Inshira night. I've just seen it was Dunfermline Wraith will be picked for telly. I've not even seen the rest of the draw, but they look for a giant killing and they look at Dunfermline Wraith. And I think they had a decent result in the last round, you know, for Martin. But yeah, that's for Martin, we'll take that. Hopefully that'll be a nice little passage into the next round of the Cup, fingers crossed. But there's Scott Brown does a favour. Home tie, which again means more revenue for the club as well. Boom. Yeah. I mean, I know people like a cheeky way away. I heard Wick was outstanding last season. But
yeah,
get your home games. Saturday, the 25th, that'll be a decent wee day.
Especially with the form that we're in, John, a home tie against anybody, and I genuinely mean anybody just now, would give teams a good go.
Yeah.
Because the confidence is high, the crowds are big, and it's all coming together, isn't it?
And we know how important is the money at the moment. We need to get a good cup run. I think the club will be, if we were to get into the next round and get Hearts or Hibs or Rangers or Celtic, that would be massive for the club. Or even go further, like, I mean, Christ, semi-finalists last season, exactly. Unbelievable, absolutely unbelievable. So let's hope that happens again. Listen, we're on a roll. Let's just fire in with the rest of the news now. Let's talk FSS before we get into the game. We will talk about yesterday's match against Al, I promise. We'll get to that in a minute. Thomas Angus has been elected the new FSS rep. Ross, I don't know Thomas myself. Do you know him?
No, I don't. I read the bio that was put onto the FSS website as well. So, obviously, like you would assume, a big Falkirk fan. He's obviously done his time in terms of Brockville, etc. as well. So, listen, he's put his name and his time invested in the role, John, because as we know, there hadn't been anyone during the initial sort of period that they were looking for someone to put themselves forward. However, Tom has done that. He's put his time in, he's going to put his time in, he's put his head up there and his name up there as well. So I wish him the best of luck. I think I saw him very briefly yesterday. I didn't recognise him, himself and Gordon Wright.
He would obviously recognise you because you had a prawn sandwich in your mouth at the time.
Well, do you know, Stevie Jackson, the boardroom host at the stadium, as soon as we came out of the lift yesterday, he went, of course you're here today, Ross. So shout out to Stevie, because he does a huge job in the boardroom every home game. And I did say to him, because he's like, oh, when are we seeing you next? And I was like, well, actually, the podcast have sponsored in a couple of weeks. So we will see him. The next home game, yeah. So, but no, best of luck to Tom. And he'll work alongside Nigel and the rest of the board. And do you know what? Everything just seems to be ticking over really, really well just now, John. And obviously the FSS held an update meeting last week. I didn't obviously get along. I know you didn't either, but there was some commentary on the social media about it as well. And again, it was people complimenting Tony, who was there. He was talking about the academy and the setup there. I think that was a really good, that we were brilliant that we were able to get Tony on tonight. So thank you massively for coming on. One other thing on FSS, though, John, is Derek Trevis, who Big Burns fan, who we all know, he had put a really good post on the Common New Burns, and it's got a lot of traction. And I'll read it out for those that have maybe not seen it or they're not on the Facebook page. But Derek had said here, if any of our fans were unsure in Swithern on joining the FSS, the reality check is definitely Hamilton's performance and result last night. We're playing very well and we're all doing our bit. So are Hamilton, just as we said there to Tony. Our club will have to fight and scrap all the way to the title. Hopefully it's not a scrap bit. Hopefully it could well be any existing shareholders who feel that they've maybe already done their bit 10, 15, 20 years ago. They bought shares then, which was a massive help to the club. If they're not currently in the FSS, can they join? Help now. Commit going forward. Everybody's in it together, as Derek says, and we'll try and keep the movement going in the right direction.
Yeah. Actually, and for those that are already a member of the FSS as well, they have put out a shout out asking you to switch, if you pay via PayPal, to switch to a standing order, because it's really going to help them in terms of admin and other bits and bobs, you know, because obviously PayPal probably charge quite a bit as well. So if you could switch, if you're on PayPal for the FSS, switch over to a standing order. That would be a great help to those guys as well. But yeah, we'll have the draw for the FSS next week on the podcast. If you're a member of the FSS, get involved and you can be involved in the draw next week. We've got some great prizes up for grabs on next week's Falkirk Daft. Last thing before we go, Falkirk Women beat Airdrie 5-0 today.
Excellent. Always a pleasure to beat Airdrie, especially after the last 18 months. So and that's
our girl was at it again. Kirsty managed to score a hat trick against them. So absolutely brilliant for Kirsty Gilbert, absolutely smashing it. She managed to get a hat trick. Eva Rule was on the mark as well. I'm just finding the other goal scorer as we speak. It was Vicky Woods. So shout out to Vicky as well. She got the first, and then Kirsty got her hat trick, and Eva Rule got one there at the end as well. So 5-0, smashing Airdrie. Love it, love it, love it. So well done, the Falkirk women. Right, let's talk about the big game against Alloa yesterday now, shall we? It's been a packed show so far, but let's get into the main event. Falkirk 3, Alloa 0. Acumen with a double. And Cole Donaldson, take a bow, son. Oh, unbelievable. And listen, going into that game, Ross, we got into the stadium. John McGlynn had hinted it in the interview prior to the game that two key players were missing. You walked into the stadium, you saw the team, Spencer and Morrison out injured. Oliver was dropped to the bench, and in came Calvin Miller, who played really well against Stirling Albion last week, got the half. Leighton Bisland and Ethan Ross. First thoughts when you saw the team, Ross?
So like everybody, I was a little bit worried that Brad Spencer wasn't playing because he has been amazing for us this season. And I did have a moment of worry. However, I then reminded myself that Finn Yates has not had a bad game in a Falkirk jersey this season. And he typified, I know we'll talk through the game in a minute, but he typified himself yesterday. I thought he was amazing as well. He covered every blade of grass. He really could have, without scoring or setting up a goal, he was here, there and everywhere, and he genuinely could have potentially have got man of the match, if I'm being honest. And I know there was a lot of commentary about that too. But yeah, I was a little bit worried initially, but actually how it turned out, with Bisland coming in at right back for Finn moving into midfield, and then giving Ethan Ross a start, as well as Calvin Miller, I think it all just worked, John, and we saw how the intensity that we started with was just phenomenal.
Work, did it ever. That first 45 minutes yesterday was one of the best Falkirk performances I have seen in many a year. We were absolutely relentless.
We were.
Unbelievable performance. Like, everyone was at it. Finn Yates, the man was he was possessed, certainly in that first half. He was unbelievable. What you say, every blade of glass covered. And you just tell, moving him back into that midfield role. And I know there was a worry over Spencer not being there, but Finn was unbelievable. Absolutely unbelievable. I thought Bisland was excellent in that first half as well. In fact, the whole team were just at it. I mean, from the first minute, even the kickoff they did yesterday when they just switched it out to the right hand side.
I loved that kickoff.
I know. That was a good kickoff, eh?
Yeah, and it was like, do you know when you're playing the computer, like FIFA or something, and you just go mental and you go mad in the first minute to try and get an early goal? That's how it felt. As you say, we didn't pass it back. We didn't look to bring the midfield in to drive forward. We literally, McKeever just looked over his shoulder, played a forward pass to Agüero. And Agüero does what Agüero does best, which is just run head down as fast as he can. And, well, we got the early goal, didn't we?
Well, no, exactly. And it was from a corner, which I'm going to have to look it back in the highlights because I don't know if it was a corner to Falkirk. We were all just like, was that a corner to Falkirk? There wasn't massive complaints from Alla, in all fairness, but I don't think it would have mattered. It was just coming. You could just tell it was coming from the kickoff. And it was, I have to say, Alla's defending yesterday was absolutely atrocious at times, and it was a terribly defending corner. But there's just argument, you know, from the cross, just a tapping. Calvin Miller delivers, and there's argument.
Yeah, so obviously both his early goals were quite similar, weren't they? But the and in there was obviously Calvin Miller early doors, as you say, a brilliant free corner kick, beg your pardon. Superbly headed in by Agüero because he did well, A, to get up as high as he did, but he had the goalie at his back. He had a centre-half at his back as well. The goalie, I'm not really sure what the goalie was actually doing because you know how keepers tend to get quite a bit of protection? You think he's just going to clatter straight into Agüero and his defender, but actually just stood at the back of his own defender thinking, all right, the defender might get this. And Agüero heads it straight in. So the goalkeeper saved them a lot yesterday. I don't want to slag them off too badly because if it wasn't for the goalkeeper, they probably would have lost by 7 or 8 goals.
He didn't like coming out of that 6-yard box and claiming it, by the way. He was not a fan, as we saw with a chance later on. But I mean, like you say, he had a good save from Finn Yeats not long after it. I mean, everyone's just wanting Finn to get that first goal as well because he deserved it. And I thought, oh, here he goes. And, you know, he missed it. But we were just all over them. It was like chance after chance after chance. Corners seems to be a big thing because not long after Agüero's corner, we had another corner, a well-worked piece, which Cole Donaldson ran in on. And it was a really worked well piece. You could see it came from the training ground and, you know, he was unlucky not to get it on target and potentially score.
Can you imagine Big Cole scoring maybe two or three goals in the one game because after his free kick last week, which I know John McGlynn commented on the
Any apologies for getting it tight, aye, aye.
Yeah. Do you know, that's what it's all about, though. You build him up, you give him a bit of stick, you light a bit of a fire in him, and look what he does yesterday as well. So, but in terms of that early chance, yeah, that was a really well-worked training ground move, and it nearly paid off.
Yeah, I mean, there was, you know, Henderson blast over, Agüero shot at the keeper. We were just like I say, it was just relentless continuing, you know, and Ethan Ross had a shot that went at the keeper as well. And you just thought, it's second goal and the game is done. I mean, we were all turning around going, and then it came, you know, another set piece. Like I say, the deep cross to the back post, was it out again? I'm going to take it, but Big Hendo was there. Knocked it back across, and there's Agüero there just pretty much just to tap it in. And again, your defence was shocking from our terrible defence.
It was shocking, but you know, I'm in terms of was the ball out, John, I think, well, obviously, we're going to look at it from navy blue tinted glasses, but he's kept it in, we'll see. And as you say, Agüero, really nice finish. He did look surprised because, like, as much as Agüero's been about the goals this season so far and he's been setting stuff up, he's obviously been having a bit of a dry patch recently, so he's probably absolutely delighted to find himself with two goals in the first sort of 15 minutes, I think, was it? It was 2-0 after 15 minutes.
Yeah, I mean, an argument, like, I think, we saw his performance. He was hooked at halftime at Stirling. His performances across the kind of last few weeks, as the team haven't been firing on cylinders in all cylinders, and you saw that performance in the first half yesterday, and you're like, holy shit, let's just keep going.
See that halftime substitution at Stirling?
Yeah.
if you think about how you would feel or how I would feel having been taken off at halftime, because normally you only get taken off at halftime for two reasons. One, actually three reasons. One, you've picked up a knock. Two, you've maybe picked up a silly booking like Henderson yesterday, although it wasn't so much a silly booking, but he obviously made a foul, and yeah. Why risk him when you're 3-0 up? Or the third reason is if you've not had a great first half. Now, Aguiman didn't have a great first half at all at Sutherland. And I think that has lit a fire inside of him this week, and he'll have been absolutely raging. And if that's his answer, well done, son. Absolutely well done.
He was outstanding yesterday. I thought Ethan Ross was excellent as well. Calvin Miller came back at the side, but how did he miss that chance when it was a beautiful goal from a crossover from McCann, and he's 3 yards out. Again, the keeper should have quite come and grabbed that, but he just thought, no, I'll just leave it for... And all he's went, I know what he's tried to do, all he needed was a touch on it, but he hit it rather than just touched it in, because all he needed to do was touch that in, he would have been on the score sheet himself.
John, I think he hit it too well, as in he made such a good contact with it that he's absolutely blasted over the bar. But as you say, had it actually just hit off him, it probably would have went in. Because the keeper was in absolute no man's land, and he was heading towards the left-hand side post. And that should have been another goal. Yeah. But Calvin Miller was phenomenal yesterday.
He was good. Got to put a shout out as well. I don't know if you heard it yesterday, but someone had a harmonica in the stand yesterday.
A harmonica?
Yeah, I thought. Like a muthi. Someone had a muthi in the stand yesterday. I was like, this is a new spin. We've got the drum. Now we're getting like a harmonica. It's going to be a full band, you know? Someone's going to be turned up by a guitar next, maybe a piano. We'll have a full band in that ultra section.
Was there a tune to it, or was it just...
I couldn't work out, you know, I was listening out, I was like, is he going to play, you know, the bit from, I'm thinking of a famous piece of music with harmonica in it.
The Master Plan by Oasis.
There Must Be an Angel by Eurythmics. Stevie Wonder plays a harmonica in that. There's a fact for you.
There we go.
Anyway, harmonicas. I'm all up for harmonicas, by the way, if you can play it. Like, we get Bob Dylan or Bruce Springsteen or something to do that. But I heard that and I thought, what? Do you know what? It was amazing, though. Topical, obviously being a main stand, you know, spectator now. Someone was actually complaining at one point, saying, get the ball faster, up fast. Shouting at the McGlynn. I was like, are you watching the same game as me here, mate?
It's mind-boggling, John. Thankfully, I didn't hear that, but hopefully someone told him to...
Well, one of our compatriots, Andy, who was sitting next to yesterday, I was sitting in your seat yesterday, Ross, and he was ready to turn around and tell me fuck off, because it was like, how can you moan at this? This is the best we've played years anyway. But something you certainly wouldn't have moaned about, big call Donaldson. Jesus Christ. He's obviously beginning to tight. We gave him it tight last week. He's obviously been getting it tight from his mates in training across the week. John McGlynn mentioned that he was giving him it tight. But then there's this little build-up, nice little pass he's played about. Cole strides forward and he's shooting, you know. Is he? Is he shooting it? Oh, he's hit it. It's going miles wide. Hold on. That's going in the top bin. Boom.
As soon as it left his foot, like, you would have been in a kind of similar angle to me in terms of where he struck it from. We were a bit further back, obviously. But you knew as soon as it left his foot, it was straight as a die, right into the top corner. And see, when you look at I don't know if you've watched the highlights back, but see if you look at the players who are in the box. Like, Ethan Ross has just got his hands on his head in shock.
Hendel, like, when they were celebrating, Hendel was just standing there, his mouth, hand over his mouth, going, yeah, did that just happen?
Yeah, it was a phenomenal finish. And he deserves it, because Cole Donaldson, alongside Big Tam Lang, they've been a colossus for us this season so far, and he deserves his goal. I know Tam's only got one so far. I scored when we played Spartans in the League Cup, but he big call. What a strike. And he's got it in his locker. Like, we knew he had it. We knew he had it in his locker, but wow, what a finish.
I mean, it's going to be... I mean, obviously, Callum had that strike against Montrose. That, for goal of the season, is going to be a hard one to beat, that one.
It's up there, John. Like, Morrison's was, like, a phenomenal strike as well, but, like, call...
For a centre-half to be pulling that out.
Exactly. And seeing you see his technique, like, it was more so on Eden Sneddon's photos that he shares with us. You see, like, his leg almost does, like, a 360 when he strikes the ball. And it was just...
It'd be outstanding. So, yeah, there we go. We go in half-time, 3-0. Second half, it was a second half. It was very much almost like John McGinn and Brian Rice went in at half-time and said, 3-0 do you? 3-0 do you? Let's shake hands on that. It was almost like that. In saying that, though, we obviously, we had a big chance... McKeever's shot was blocked. He'd been desperate for a goal, but it went right at the keeper, and it was a big chance for Ross McKeever to get on the score sheet. But, you know, apart from that, I mean, there was chances. There was the one where Oliver went in at goal, plays Agyeman in, and you were just like, come on, the hat trick. And it just was slightly too much on the pass from Oliver. But again, it was well saved by the goalie in the end. But you just want your big Alfie to get his hat trick in there. And
Alfie scoring a hat trick would have been really nice. As you said, and as we said earlier on, the keeper, as much as he didn't command his box that well, he did save them 4 or 5 times yesterday. And it could have been an absolute whooping without the lads. So, but yeah, Alfie missing that one was tough. And as you said, Mike Miller had a chance. McKeever had a chance in the second half. I think Alloa, did they not? Like, I can't really remember too many chances, but I remember the one.
I actually watched it. Alloa posted their highlights before midnight, apparently, which led to our friend Lewis Connolly, who former of Falkirk TV, getting into a bit of a bargy with Alloa, the football club, and they're basically saying, "We've not broken the rules." And Lewis is like, "Yes, you have," and highlighted something. I was like, "Stop being a grass, Lewis. This is great. They've got the highlights up early so we can see them."
Which was the benefit, actually. Yeah, because the big thing was that, like, we were able to see the goals earlier than we meant to, but, like, I did see that Twitter exchange. So obviously, I was at that wedding, and I'm sitting getting notifications on my watch going, "I think John's arguing with Lewis." Oh, no, wait, it's Alloa we're arguing with.
It was brilliant. But it was, they didn't have much chances. Even in our TV, they really tried to flag up the chances that...
Do you know which chance I was more disappointed with? No, so much Alfie's one.
Jordan Allen,
and... I really like Jordan Allen, obviously, because we sponsored his goal flashy. So apart from that reason, I wanted him to score.
Do you know what? I actually thought in that second half, obviously, we made the sub. McQuinn thought, right, there's no point in risking Big Hendo on a yellow card. I've got Nesbitt there. I'll use Nesbitt because the game's... it's done. It's done as a contest. We've shaken hands with Brian Rice. We've agreed on the 3-0. It's done as a contest, right? And I thought it was actually quite a smart move looking back on it. Yeah. But what I was scheming, I was like, why not for the last half hour bring on Jordan Allen and play him up front with Big Ross and see how they get on? Just as an experiment, let's give them half an hour at it, as you know, and go that way. Because I think Jordan needs a goal. Like, I mean, he had that one up at Cove, and, you know,
he's got a penalty against Queen's Park. So
yeah, he had the penalty against Queen's Park as well.
You could argue there is a return there for the minutes he's had, right? Uh-huh. But I was just a bit disappointed in him for that chance anyway yesterday. I'm not saying he came on and played badly, but in terms of the chance, I fully expected him to rattle the back of the net there. Yeah. And he kind of scaffed at it, didn't he?
Yeah. I'd love to have just seen him play that wee half hour with the two boys up front, because I think it would just been an interesting experience. Just if needs be, we've got that option there, and it would work, you know, with Ross and Jordan. Because we all know Ross McKeever's flick-ons are unbelievable. See, in terms of, actually, you saw that yesterday in his flick-ons, there was one that he put into Oliver and stuff, and you're just going, wow, he's really good in the air and just really good at directing those headers into a really dangerous area. But I'd love to have seen him. I just want to see him and Alan. 4-4 fucking 2, mate. That's what, I just want to, just bring it to me. Bring it to me with the scoops. That's all. But listen, you can't complain anything about yesterday. There's no complaints to be had from any Falkirk supporter, I don't think. I mean, you'd want to have seen more goals. We really could have put them to the swords. Maybe you say, we're now tied with Dundee United as the top scorers in Scotland because they obviously won 6-0 at the weekend. But, we could have really put them to the swords. But like I say, the handshake was done at half-time between McQuinn and Rice and we went up the road with 3-0. Let's see what John McGunn... Remember the last time we played Alwell, played Brian Rice's interview? I've actually not checked out Brian Rice's interview on this one.
When we finished watching McGlynn, if you've got it there, John, play it because it is not a long interview and it's a wee bit tense.
Right, okay, we'll definitely do that. But let's hear first of all from Mr. John McGlynn.
John, 3 points, 3 goals, really dominant performance. You must be pleased with that.
Yeah, I'm absolutely delighted. I thought the first half we were electric. I thought the tempo that we played it, the intensity that we had, pressing, working hard, passing was really, really good, really sharp, really crisp, attack after attack after attack. And we scored very early, which is always nice. It's always nice to get that one goal early doors. Settles everyone down, settles the team down, everyone down and the fans down, and gave us something to go and build on. And we were relentless. I thought we were relentless in the first 45 minutes of the game. We put the game to bed. Delighted for Alfie to get 2 goals, and Cole's rocket was like, a bullet going into the top bin there. Delighted for him. He's been leading by example every day in training. He's taken on the armband, and throughout the whole week he's been doing great for us, and on the pitch he's been doing great, and it's nice for him to get a goal like that. You can see the way that he celebrated that. Kind of made up for his shot at Stirling last week. Sorry about that, big fella.
He said he's been getting pelters from yourself and Smudger all week.
Well, that's what it is. But I'm delighted for him. But the whole team functioned very much on the front foot. As I say, it was attack, attack, attack. And good performances. I thought the three, even like Ross did really well. Ross McCammon did really well. Probably should have got at least a goal today. But between Calvin, Ethan Ross and Alfie, I thought the three were magnificent. Along with Finn Yates in midfield, who covered every blade of grass here. And got challenges in, made challenges, won the ball back for us, kept playing it, made it difficult for them. Big Liam Henderson, I thought, was doing brilliantly. He was doing great. He was doing a magnificent job in there. Gets a silly book in, and then I've got a decision to make at half-time because there's no point risking him getting sent off in the second half. He just needs to leave his foot in. Another yellow card, and he's walking, and there was no need of us being 3-0 up. Aidan comes on. The second half was a bit more... We couldn't keep the same tempo, unfortunately. We just, it's not easy to keep that going, the tempo and the pace, the speed that we're playing at. Very, very difficult to keep that going. But we never looked like losing a goal, and at the other end, their goalkeeper, I still believe, made another couple of really good saves in the second half, and it could have been one or two more. So, delighted with the overall performance. I'd like to mention the fans today. Again, 1,500 fans, at Stirling, and delighted with the backing we got today in the second half. It became a little bit scrappy, and the young team, got right behind us. Started singing again, started getting the atmosphere back in again, which we needed, which is great for them to recognise that we needed a wee bit of lift, a wee bit of backing. So that's magnificent, guys. Delighted that you could feel that and bring it onto the pitch, because the connection now between the fans and the players and the backroom staff is getting it's just so good. So we've just got to continue to be, to recognise things like this. As the game's gone on, we're all watching the game, we can see things, and maybe there's times where we're going to need a lift. And it was good that he's recognised that and gave us that extra little bit of a push. It didn't lead to more goals, but it certainly led to us going on more attacks.
Ross, I don't think we need to do a podcast. I just think we need to, because McGuinn just basically does it all for you, doesn't he? My favourite bit, however, is just referring to the ultras of the young team. I love John McGuinn calling them the young team. Brilliant. Love it, love it. I bet he just, you know what? McGuinn loves, I bet he loves a bit of harmonica. He's the kind of guy that loves a wee bit of harmonica. I bet he, John McGuinn actually plays a harmonica. I bet he can break it. But, you know, it's a Christmas party, whatever. Hand over the moothie to me, mate. I'll blast it a wee tune here, you know, gets the party going with a harmonica.
Was he not a Strictly Come Dancing kind of guy, though, as we know from the
chat with him, yeah.
One other thing to mention there, apart from his young team comment, was how he gets it, John. Like, he knows... And you never just feel that it's like flannel, like thank you. Like, you know, when you get managers who just say, oh, thanks for the fans that came along today, blah, 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 that's it. He gets it.
Yeah.
He knows why fans get frustrated, but he also knows what gets them off their seat. And yeah, so let's, long may it continue.
No, absolutely right. Okay, you've teased it. Well, we hear Brian Rice's interview now. I've just looked at it. It's 57 seconds long, as opposed to John McGuinn, who gave... a 3.5 minute answer for one question. Let's hear what Ricey had to say.
How did you reflect on that performance?
Never gave ourselves a chance. You know, two corners, two goals in the first 15 minutes. Seemed to have scored the two goals in person, picking them up. You know, he shot himself in the foot. Same last time we came here at Falkirk. They're a really good team. They're too good for us today.
What was the message at half time? Because it looked in the second half that there was definitely an improvement.
Don't lose any more goals and try and get a goal back. You know, get a bit of pride about yourselves. All the damage done in the first half. Came here, never got started. Gave Falkirk too much respect. Didn't they get goals? Didn't they get any tackles in? Give two goals at corners. Can't they do that at this level?
What needs to change next week? Going to Sunderland?
What needs to change? Just get back to what we done last week and scoring more in the opposition. In a football game. You know, and that's what it's all about. Today, we'll reflect on it. And then we'll go again next week. Big game. Like, every game's a big game, but it's got to be better than it was today, first half.
Where I thought that was funny was the last 20 seconds, because obviously the guy asked him the most awkward question in the world. What do we need to do? Well, score more goals than the other team. That would help.
Oh, right. See, remember the last day it was like, we need to be warriors. We need to be swearing and all sorts of stuff. The last day we beat them. Not a happy man, Mr. Rice. But yeah, listen, great. I mean, what can you say? Like I say, the handshake was done at halftime. We're up the road with 3 points and Athena won. And let's see what you guys said about the game yesterday. Peter, who we mentioned earlier on, says, everyone at Falkirk Daft is surely missing a trick with Ross's new nickname. Has to be Rosspitality. Come on, you bairns. Yep, Rosspitality it is.
Yeah, I also got grief for the comment that came in from Stuart Gillies. Bairns Business Club annual hospitality day, Ross Wayne Weekly.
I heard next year they're going to nearly name it the Ross Wayne Day because you're in there that much.
I hope not, because that mean I need to pay. Pay for it all, so let's hope not.
Yep. Elsa says, it's good I've seen a first half from Falkirk today. Being picky, wish we were... Elsa's always picky, by the way, but she's been picky here. Wish we were a bit more clinical, it would have been 5 or 6 goals. Alwa were utter pish and didn't offer a threat. Everyone played their part today, including the subs. Just need to keep it going.
Indeed. Charlie says, really comfortable win. John McGuinn is the man. He's the man to call for any pest control in the Forth Valley region. It's for the Wasp, Waspness, is it? Three good goals, and Aguiman will need to let that poor number three out of his back pocket at some point. And it was a great strike from Big Call.
There's the thing, you know, we'll get into a minute, but Aguiman playing on the right, I thought, looked a lot more comfortable on the right than he did on the left. So, yeah, and I want to ask this question when we get to the end of this. Right, Wee Div says, played well with two key injuries. Yeats was excellent all day. Morrison may not automatically walk straight back into the first 11. We're so much faster and slicker without Oliver. Well played, Bairns. This is our year.
Let's hope so.
Well, actually, that Weed makes the point that I was going to kind of ask later. Morrison and Spencer, I don't know how bad the injuries are in terms of play. I think Spencer might... I heard John McGuinn saying, I think Spencer might... They're still waiting to find out about Morrison. He went for a scan. Spencer, however, does he get back into that team next week?
Yes.
Yes. At the expense of who?
I think he would put Finn Yates back in at right back, and it's not because Bisland did anything wrong at right back. I thought he was a very competent fullback yesterday, but Finn Yates does not deserve to be dropped from the team. I don't think Bisland did anything different to Finn Yates would have done. He wasn't like getting up and down the wing more than Yates does, and he wasn't any less of a defender than Finn Yates was. So for me, I would probably put Bisland back onto the bench if Spencer's fit, and get Yates back into the position he's been doing well at. I do like Yates, so in terms of midfield, I know I've said this quite religiously, Yates is a midfielder now. I prefer him in midfield. I just don't see John McGlynn dropping Hendo.
Just for the physicality of Hendo, for his threat set pieces. Yeah. That's what he offers. Interesting. We'll see what happens next week. Anyway, we'll talk about that in a minute. It was like watching a training game, says Jack. In the first half, we were playing better stuff than last week. Oh, we're in damage control mode and we're out to frustrate in the second half. Simple against part-time teams, but a big test next week. Let's get the lads fit and firing 3 points at Palmerston.
Indeed, let's hope so. Craig, one of the best first half displays I've seen from a Falkirk team, was utterly relentless and should have been more than three. That's interesting about the word relentless, John. I said it earlier, you've said it earlier, John McGlynn's just said it on the post-match interview, and there Craig said it as well. I actually think that's a great word as to describe Falkirk just now. We are relentless in everything that we're doing.
Absolutely. Nathan says, easily dominated first half, should have scored more, felt like a training match.
Indeed. Paul said, if that's what we can do without Morrison and Spencer, imagine if they'd been on the pitch. The benefit of the small squad is that everyone is playing a part, and it shows.
A very good point. Very, very good point in that, using the small squad, utilising it. You can see on, like we've talked about in several episodes, the bond between those players, the celebrating with the fans, the celebrating with each other. They're all playing for each other. And I guess that's the benefit of having a small squad, you know, that really comes through. Keir says, best performance this season, in my opinion, with Steve going on 10. Well, Stuart says, thought we were excellent in the second half too. You'd expect them to shut up shop anyway, but even at that, they hardly had a chance and we could have had a couple more.
Indeed. To finish us off, we've got Scott, who said, total domination in the first half, brilliant football, the pathetic half-swapping at the toss failed by Alloa, the ultras were awesome again, especially in the second half, Forth Valley continues to be navy blue. And finally, as we always finish, if he messages us, our friend in Australia, Willie Stroker, Alloa got, well, you know the rest.
Absolutely. Right now, this is the big decision to make here, Ross. Who's your Falkirk Daft rated player from yesterday?
Really easy for me, John. I might have said this earlier on, but I'm going to go Mr. Finn Yates. I thought he was fantastic.
Oh, wait, you stole my thunder. I thought you would have went Alfie. But I can't even not let that strike go. I thought Donaldson, despite, you know, Donaldson, I saw the interview with him and seeing the midfield in front of him, you know, made it very easy for him and Tam. But Tam and Cole dealt with absolutely, you know, they had very little to deal with. But I just think for the strike alone, we've got to give it to Big Cole. Finn was brilliant. And again, I'll go on. He was unbelievable yesterday. And I feel Finn's maybe had a Falkirk Daft rated already this season. So I'm going to give it to the big man, because we slagged him off last week. He's getting it tight in training all week about this free kick. That strike was unbelievable. He came forward with the game. Him and Tam, again, they've just formed such a great, you know, solid partnership. You only can see 11 goals in the league this season. So I'm going to give it to the big man, Cole. I feel he deserves it for that strike.
Fair play.
I don't know, we'll toss a coin on it. right, Falkirk Dafty, we got anyone?
I've won this week, innit?
I'm going to have to give it to Hendo, just because he picked up that silly yellow card.
Oh, John, that's tough.
I know, I can't even think it. I honestly, I can't think of anyone else.
Do you know, see the silly booking aside, though?
He was...
I did really well yesterday.
He was really good, but it was a silly book, and that's the only... I can't even think of anyone. That's the problem. I can't even think of anyone to give it to.
Yeah, see, just as you've been talking to now, I can tell, as he's listening to this, Hendo's dad, Willie, is going to be furiously messaging you saying, it's if, John. It's not Falkirk bias, but do you know who I'm going to give the Daft Day of the Week to? is the 17 young team from Alloa who were making lots of noise. They were singing about Falkirk's shitey home support, and then they all left at halftime. They just went down the stairs at the exit and up Falkirk Road. There you go.
There you go. Yeah, we'll give it to them. Yeah, there you go. Brilliant. Listen, we didn't have a guest pundit because we had Tony on this week, but if you want to come on next, we'd love to hear from you. Just drop us a DM on Twitter, Facebook, or pop us an email, pundit@falkirkdaft.co.uk.
This is Falkirk Daft
with Haldane Construction Services.
Right, let's talk Queen of the South. Dumfries, I'm sure, is always a good wee away day. A lot of bairns will be heading down there in the train, on the buses. Ross, are you going to make it yourself?
I'm not going to make it down next weekend.
It makes two of us.
Either, no. Right, okay.
Oh, well,
we need to make sure the guest pundits
basically. Yeah. I mean, the Queen of the South are having a torrid time of it. I thought they might have picked up after they got their first win against Annan in five, but that's them now going six games out of seven with defeat and getting beat at Palmerston yesterday off of Cove Rangers as well. Big Marv is having a tough time. I was speaking to him in the office this week. He was in doing Super Scoreboard. And I was just saying, well, mate, what's going on? You know, and he says, apparently injuries have been an absolute nightmare. They've had a boy going, as we saw at the Falkirk Stadium, had two boys go off that day, I believe. Obviously, Guff being one of them, but he says injuries have just been mental. He says, basically, it's not been like groin or not been like strain muscles, because he said he would have had a word with sports science. It's all been contact injuries that he's had. So he's saying it's been an absolute nightmare. So they're down to kind of bare bones in terms of their squad, I think.
Is he, obviously, you know him, John, and you're not going to betray any confidence that he's maybe spoke to you about, but do you think he's worried? Because obviously, he's a new manager at a new club and they've not started well. Like when you look at their record, like they've not drawn any games. So they've won a couple, maybe three or four games, and they've lost seven or eight. Do you think he's worried about like where they could finish the season?
Well, I mean, I think you'd have to be when you're a full-time team and you're sitting seventh in League One. I think anyone, you know, I don't think there'll be much pressure from Chairman. I don't know how much grumbling the Queen of South supporters are having, or if they're just seeing this I mean, the thing is, they really had their transition season last season. Do you know what I mean? That was, you felt it was going to be their transition. Because at the start of the season, we were sitting here on this podcast saying, right, who are challengers this season? It's going to be Hamilton. It's going to be Cove. It's going to be Queen of South. Those are the full-time clubs all in this league.
Yeah.
Cove are starting to pick up form. We'll give them that. They've really come into a bit of a game now, but Queen of the South are just really, really struggling. Really struggling.
They are. And as you say, they've obviously, what is it, a 65, 70% loss rate, which is huge in this league for a full-time team. I had a quick look at their fixtures and who they've actually won against. The two of their four wins have been against Annan. Now, Annan are obviously, you would expect they're probably going to finish in one of the bottom two positions with Edinburgh, current form.
Saying that, Edinburgh, that's Michael McKindle's come in there, obviously, drawing a win in his first two games.
That's very true. And we've got them in 2 weeks' time. So, obviously, we want to burst whatever bubble they've got going there. But no, you're right. They have picked up a bit of confidence and a bit of momentum early doors there. But yeah, just when you look at how they're doing, they're not scoring a lot. They've only scored like 15 goals.
I mean, obviously, Rory Payton's been a huge loss for them.
Yeah. But listen, I don't want to say never because we have went down there and pumped them before. But it's not common that we go down there and score three or four goals.
No.
Certainly without conceding. I do think we're more than good enough to beat them down there. Will it be the debut for the heritage kit? Because obviously we can't wear blue, so maybe we'll find ourselves in the new kit. Although it probably would be fitting for that to be a home game, I suppose, just with the significance behind it. But as you said earlier on, John, I know neither of us can get down there next Saturday, but there'll be a huge Bairns crowd down there. I'm actually wondering if I think it'll be big enough to warrant them maybe opening that terrace that they occasionally do for Falkirk at various games. So I think there'll be a real big crowd going down.
No, it should be. I mean, like I say, Palmerston's a great wee day out. A lot of good wee pubs in Dumfries as well, if you're getting the train down there. So get involved. We'd love to. If you are going down, get on the podcast next week so we can be our guest pundit, because now myself or Ross will be down there. Right, predictions though, what are we thinking?
Confident we'll go down there and get a win. Queens will make it difficult for us. I'm gonna go 3-1 Falkirk. 3-1
Falkirk. I'm going to take a cheeky 1-0 and up the road, I think. Anyone, like you say, will do.
Anyone will do.
You know, we kind of mentioned it briefly earlier. Hamilton, obviously, we looked, you know, we're still 2 points ahead of them. We were hoping to be 5 points ahead of them once we recorded this podcast, thinking Montrose, as we know, difficult team to play against, certainly going to up to the ground. It's a, you know, they do well up there. They always have done against us. Fortunately, it wasn't to be. I mean, Hamilton went up there, and in all accounts, I didn't see the game, but it looked like they showed it. So that was a big dissy. I was very disappointed in my friend Mark, who we've had in this podcast before, who obviously describes Montrose like the Brazil of Angus. I messaged him before and I said, What happened? You know, he's still convinced that we're going to throw it. But I was disappointed to see that. But we're still, like I say, we're 2 points clear, still in our hands, and going forward, and hopefully we can just keep it going in the momentum going with another win against Queen of the South. And we've got to mention, it's best start since 1948. We can beat that. We've equaled it at the moment, but next week, if we get a result, it's going to be one of the best starts in our history.
So any result bar a defeat next Saturday will be our best start to any season since 1876. Is that what Donald, I assume it was Donald that got in touch with the stats. So is that right? So since 1876. I believe so.
That's what I was getting talked about yesterday. Donald actually has been in touch with our resident Stato, as ever. Thank you, Donald. He's saying the last 13 seasons we've played them 7 times at Palmerston, including Cup quarter final, with a great record of 5 wins, 1 draw, and 1 loss. Wow, I did not realise we had that good a record.
That's a very good record.
77%. Our only defeat was our last season when we got beat 1-0. We remember that game well. Great attendance yesterday. Donald likes getting into his attendance stats now. 4,449, just that 51 short of the 4-5, which is our biggest versus Al at the stadium by 280. There you go. I've got another stat for you as well, by the way. This comes from my brother who messaged me today, and he said, our average league home attendance last season was 4,080. This season, so far, it's 4,373. Last season, we only had 7 occasions where we surpassed 4,000. That includes the Ayr United Cup match and the Airdrie playoff. Currently, we've breached 4,000 for all 6 home league matches.
And I don't see it, on current form, you don't see it changing anytime soon. The crowds have just been absolutely brilliant. When we were doing the, as you'll know from when you do hospitality, you have like competitions like guess the attendance, guess the time of the first goals and all this kind of stuff, John. So when I was filling that in yesterday, like there was no thought of anything less than 4,000. That's kind of where you're... This time last year, you would have been 3 and a bit, or just over 3, or do you know what I mean? You would have been really pragmatic about it, but no, another brilliant crowd. Disappointed with the number from Alloa. I know they're not playing that well, but 111 people.
Yeah, I thought we might bake that 4-5 Alloa. I thought they would have brought at least 200 through, but no, it was...
Yeah, and there was only 96 of them that saw the sign.
Very true, very true. But yeah, no... interesting times, and fingers crossed at Queen of the South next week.
This is Falkirk Daft
with Haldane Construction Services.
So that is it for a bumper edition of Falkirk Daft. Listen, Latapy Watch, we need to get on this next week. We asked for your Latapy spots. Please get on our Twitter right now, and we've had a few belters coming through, so we'll round up Latapy Watch next week on the podcast. And remember, we've talked about the Shire Night, remember it's moved from the 17th to the 24th. All the details on that are below, so get involved in that. for Martin in the cup, which we've found out live on the podcast as well. A lot of big stuff, a lot of stuff going, and it's just like continuous. It just, this season just seems to be
relentless.
Relentless is the buzzword of the day. It is absolutely relentless. Thanks very much for listening to Folk Daft again. Everyone reached out to us in the stadium, and as you'll see in my background, if you're watching the YouTube version, that's what it's all about. Again, sponsoring the captain's armband this year, and came up with the initiative to give it to kids at the end, and just the look in some of the kids' faces. Ross, you picked up an armband for yourself.
No. There's a story behind this one, John. But it's we did. Graham came up to the lounge yesterday, and we were talking about, just as you've said there, about the initiative. It's, Graham's been in the sort of commercial marketing business for many years, and he said to me he reckons this is the best bit of PR he's seen in years. And I think, when you think it, like, from our perspective, right, it's not a, like, it's not so much a brand awareness for us, because we just like doing it because we want to give the club money. But in terms of, like, just as you've said there, the wee lad's face is just absolutely brilliant. That's not the first time we've seen a wee face like that this season. Loads of boys, loads of girls, they've had their the captain's armband this year, and we know there's adults out there who are looking for them as well. Yeah, just
give it to the Waynes, for God's sake. Don't wrestle the children out the way to get an armband, for goodness sake. Give it to the Waynes. Yeah. I mean, to be fair, Bret the Hitman Hart did start this whole trend when he gave over his son. I'm not going to go back into that, because I'm very disappointed that no one will back me up on Bret the Hitman Hart handing his sunglasses over to Waynes. But anyway, we love being part of it. And, you know, it is, like you say, it's all what it's all about. All these kids coming away with a big smile on their face. And hopefully, just giving them, laying them down for being a Falkirk supporter for life. That's the plan,
That's the plan, isn't it?
That's the plan. Yeah. So we had great chat. Really enjoyed that today. Ross, you're back in hospitality for the next home game, is that right?
I am, but as you are as well.
Oh, damn it. Yeah.
Can't slag me off, but we're looking forward to that day. We're in there. We're the captain's sponsor all season, but in terms of individual matches, the club obviously still have that hospitality package, but it's us on that day. And I'll be interested to see which players come up to the lounge after.
Oh, Tam doesn't come mad. I'll be a quivering wreck. I'll be like, you know, that those scenes you see in the 60s with the Beatles where there's all these lassies fainting. I'll be fainting in hospitality. Can't be having that. Oh, Tam!
I think if there's any way anyone is listening that can make this happen on the 11th versus Edinburgh City, please make it happen.
But we're looking forward to that. So onwards and upwards to Queen of South. Hopefully we're back here next week talking about a big win. Remember, get your merch for Falkirk Daft. I think there's deals going on our merch website just now, so check that out, merch.falkirkdaft.co.uk. Get your Falkirk Daft merch there. It's all pretty snazzy stuff. I've just used the word snazzy for the first time since the 90s there as well. So get involved in that, merch.falkirkdaft.co.uk. All the links before. Discord, get involved in that. All the Falkirk chat's going on there. And again, thank you to Haldane Construction, who are supporting us all throughout the season. Top lads they are over there. And if you want to get in touch with either of us, john@falkirkdaft.co.uk, or you can type in prawnsandwiches@falkirkdaft.co.uk and that'll get to Ross shaking your head. Thank you very much for listening to Falkirk Daft as per usual, and we will see you on the next one. Until that time, Ross, however,
unexpected.